Well, it was a really good roundtable. It was pulled together on short notice, and the crowd was sizable. Just deep concern about children. I mean, almost everybody prefaced their remarks, "I've got kids in school," or "I'm a teacher," or "My daughter's a teacher." And so there's deep worry about kids. And there's a question about, you know, where are our values? What's more important to us, kids or political contributions? And so we then talked about particular strategies that they hope Congress may embrace. And chief among them is trying to have a universal background check system so that dangerous people who are prohibited are not able to get weapons. That's the thing that we learned in the aftermath of the Virginia Tech shooting that would have the most prospect of helping. We also talked about other issues, whether it was trying to ban these weapons of war or ban high-capacity magazines that lead to so much carnage in these shootings. These are things that you can do completely consistently with the Second Amendment. I told the folks that I'm a gun owner and I'm a Second Amendment supporter, but I understand that reasonable safety rules, of course, are appropriate and we need to embrace them. So we talked about that. And then because we had some classroom teachers or relatives of teachers there, you know, there was a lot of discussion about proposals or just, you know, mentions by the president and others that teachers should be armed, which they generally thought was a really bad idea.
What's your opinion on that, Senator, as far as we're talking with U.S. Senator Tim Kaine, as far as arming teachers? Is that something is off the table for you, or is that?
Yeah, I actually think it's a really bad idea. And when you talk to teachers and school officials or school board members, they say it too. Having more armed security in schools is a different matter. So if we're committed to funding that, having trained security in schools, that's a different matter. But arming teachers, my wife Ann from Roanoke used to be a juvenile court judge. In her courtroom, even the trained deputy who was her bailiff would lock his weapon in a gun safe while in the courtroom, because in a juvenile court, they're bringing a lot of prisoners in. They didn't want a prisoner to be able to grab a weapon away from somebody and use it to commit carnage. So if even deputies in courtrooms where there's high security needs often put their weapons in gun safes, imagine how much easier it would be from a crook to wrestle a gun away from a kindergarten teacher. So, and you have all these prospects of people who aren't trained possibly using weapons in ways that, bystanders or others would be injured or even killed. So trained security, that could be part of the answer, but I think arming teachers is not. Teachers have a hard enough job to do without expecting them to be essentially their own security guards as well.
Let's talk about background checks. You know, Senator, when you look at the Parkland shooting, the FBI had tips on him. Local law enforcement had received calls from him. Apparently the school district had some information about him. There might have been some mental health issues, some mental health information on file. Can't all this stuff just be put in one database that if you're a gun dealer, you can access? And then if somebody reaches a particular level of concern, that there's a flag or something?
Yes, that's what needs to happen. And there is a database, the NICS system, but the history of states introducing the data into the system is spotty and poor, so we may need to help through incentives for states to do that. And then second, if you allow gun sales to occur, if you buy from a licensed gun dealer, they have to do a background check. They have to check you against the NICS system. But if you allow people to buy at gun shows or in private sales where there doesn't have to be a background check, then there's just a complete end around. And that was what happened at Virginia Tech. There was a flaw in the background check system that led this deranged young man, Sung Wee Cho. He'd been adjudicated mentally ill and dangerous. He was not supposed to be able to have a weapon, but he was able to get a weapon because of the flaws in the background check system. So the best thing would be to make that system universal and have universal background checks so that prohibited individuals, dangerous individuals, couldn't get weapons.
We're talking with U.S. Senator Tim Kaine. I'm Gene Morano. Let's talk about the bill that you co-sponsored with a number of other Democratic senators and also independent Bernie Sanders. Bans the sale, manufacture, importation of many military-style assault weapons, bans large magazines, the detachable magazines. There are a number of exceptions here. No Republicans have signed on to the bill, Senator Kaine. Does that make this bill dead on arrival, or is this a starting point?
It's a starting point. It wouldn't have the votes right now. You're right, Gene. The assault weapons ban, I've supported it before. I voted for it in 2013. There was an assault weapons ban in place in federal law during the 1990s. and it was effective. And it can be effective again. There's no single thing that will eliminate all gun violence, obviously, but the question is, will a rule make us safer? And an assault weapons ban will. One piece of the assault weapons ban, there's also a separate bill on the high-capacity magazines. That has a chance of getting some Republican votes. I was reading that my Republican colleague, Marco Rubio, in the past, he has opposed bans on high-capacity magazines. But the shooting in Parkland eventually stopped when the shooter needed to change out a magazine, and at that point, the shooting stopped. If you have smaller magazines, there's more opportunities to get in and stop the carnage before it becomes so bad. And so that's why the ban on the high-capacity magazines, I think standing alone, may have more ability right now to pick up some bipartisan votes.
Talk about, Senator, the NRA. How much power do they really have to impede some of these changes? And is there a way you can bring the NRA around on some of these measures?
You know, the NRA, they're headquartered in Virginia. And the sad thing is the NRA, on background checks, the NRA used to support background checks. The NRA used to have a rule, we don't want new laws, we want to enforce existing laws. And and for that reason, they supported background checks because they said it's the only way to enforce existing laws about who can and can't have weapons. But what's happened over time is the NRA has ceased speaking for its members, and they've really kind of become a shill for the gun manufacturers. And the manufacturers' idea is they want to sell as many whenever, wherever, to whomever. And so the NRA doesn't even speak for their members on the background check issue. I hope they will go back, and if they look at polling and 90% of Americans believe in background checks, NRA members believe in background checks. I'm a gun owner and a Second Amendment supporter. I don't see anything that conflicts between the Second Amendment right to bear arms and reasonable rules to keep us safe in society. So I hope they will end up recommitting to principles that they held even 10 or 15 years ago. If they do, we can make some progress.
Last question, Senator. We're talking with U.S. Senator Tim Kaine. The outcry after Parkland from students there, people elsewhere, people coming together. Will something get done this time? Is this really the time to make that change?
I think the debate is fundamentally different after Parkland because of the involvement of the students. They basically posed a really tough question to adults. What matters more to you, your children or a campaign donation? And in their advocacy and marching and protesting and activism, they're posing a really tough question to elected officials. What matters more, your kids or a campaign contribution? And will that be enough so that, in the next 2 weeks we'll pass meaningful legislation? I don't know. But when you see the Republican governor of Florida putting on the table improvements, including background record check improvements, you know that something is changing. I thank these young people who have turned a really painful experience into an effort to try to help others, and having their energy and activism may help us finally get there.